Hello and welcome to the Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Reggie.
I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And this week we're talking about our favorite mythic creatures from yonder olden days. This is different from cryptoids. I'm talking like actual, like magical fantasy, you know.
Cryptoids from very, very early times.
From olden yonder times.
Are we saying cryptoids on purpose?
No.
Or are we not saying cryptids?
I'm saying cryptoids because I say words funny because I'm the funny one.
Well, they can add you guys, not me.
This week has also been my birthday.
And this week is your birthday episode, isn't it?
I guess so. Happy birthday, May 28. Oh my God, guys, I can't believe it.
I'm just overjoyed that I'm not the youngest person on the podcast anymore. I've been a little brother my whole life, so I'm excited to be a middle child now.
Because I'm the baby. I'm 34. I'm actually the middle child in this group.
You are. You're the Jan. I'm the Marsha. Tom, you're the Sydney.
I prefer to look at it as I'm the Piper from Charmed.
I just want to be perfect.
I am perfect. I had a little cookout. You guys were there.
Yes.
It was
really fun.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a really good time. Got some good gifts and, you know. The gifts keep rolling in. My Power Ranger thing will be coming soon. I think it shipped today.
Yay.
And my mom got me a bow and arrow and some arrows for my Ren Faire costume, but it's actually usable. So I'm gonna harness my inner Katniss Everdeen and shoot some bow and arrows in the backyard.
Or your inner Oliver Queen.
No, prefer Katniss Everdeen. No, I'm just kidding.
Or what's the guy who shoots arrows from the Avengers?
Oh, Hawkeye, he's lame.
I'm excited about the Hawkeye show that's coming, though, with, I don't know what her name is, but she was Flashlight.
See, that one will be good.
She's Flashlight Girl in the second Pitch Perfect movie. Like, she sings the Flashlight song. I don't know what her name is.
I like Hawkeye, but because of the movie Wind River.
So you like the actor.
Yes, but what's his name? By extension, I don't know.
Jeremy something? Isn't it Jeremy something?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
Somebody tell me what
everyone listening at home knows how bad we are with names and how bad we are about Googling that.
I can tell you about some DC names.
Yeah, I know DC names, but...
Stephen Amell. Who's that? Oliver Queen.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
We are better at names than Fear Street was at Irish accents.
Oh, Tabitha Martin and Toria.
Was that where they were supposed to be? Because I did not get it.
I didn't get it, but it was like the total nerd list.
They were old Salem times, so pilgrimages.
Oh.
So where did the pilgrims come from?
I guess just wherever the... Where is Fear Street? Do we know the state?
Fear Street, USA.
It is in the state. Yeah, I don't think it's in a known state.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I always...
Like
honestly,
it's
kind of
like Fear Street or whatever, Shady Dale, Shady, good grief.
Sunnyvale and
Shady Side, USA. It's like Salem on Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, there's, I don't know, it's like Springfield.
I think it was my people. Irish.
Irish. Well, I agree. I thought that their horrible Irish accents were awesome, but I guess we'll talk about that later. And before we go on, how was your guys' week?
It's been good. I feel like I haven't nerded out on a lot, but I started playing Smash again and got really into that little spirit adventure mode that's on there, and I'm enjoying that and trying to find the heroes I want to unlock.
Who are you playing as?
Right now I am Kirby, because that's the one you start with, but Kirby is one of my favorites. I am looking for Ness or Lucas.
I think I got one of them pretty early.
Is it randomized, or is it...
I don't know.
They're in certain places... on the map, and once I started fighting the giant Bowser because he gets a power up, I realized I need one of them.
I lost steam on that mode. I was going really good there for a while.
I didn't play it very much at first either, but then I kind of picked it back up recently, and now I'm really into it.
Very nice. I want to get that Nickelodeon one.
Yes.
The All-Stars, whatever it's called.
That's definitely not Smash, but yes.
I mean, it is.
It's Smash with Nickelodeon.
It's Nickelodeon Smash. And I'm,
Nickelodeon
I'm
fighting game.
It. I'm excited for it.
I own the Cartoon Network one, so I get it.
Oh, speaking of games, I think Pokemon Unite came out for the Switch.
So was that a turn-based Pokemon
it's
game?
It's like where you have two teams and then everybody is in control of one person and you guys have to like stay in your designated areas and then you fight off another team and normally there's like the one that I've played before was Arena of Valor, and there would be, like, minions that mm-hmm. are NPC, not NPCs, but, like, computer characters.
Okay, you're right. I have seen
that,
this.
That you are trying to fight, and then there's also the other team main characters. When we get done, I'm going to download it. I'm very excited.
Yay. Well, I am so close to finishing my July book that I have the love-hate relationship with. It's Execution. It's the last book in the Furnace series. And it finally got good to the point where I was just reading and reading. And even this morning, like, I read about 70 pages. I was very proud of myself because I'm reading that book very fast. I'm understanding what's going on just so I can get through it. And I definitely didn't cry at any part.
Very nice.
He says sarcastically.
Nobody cries during reading books.
No, I was just thinking about, like, having the willpower to read a book and how I wish I had it.
I read a book recently.
I've been listening to all of my books lately.
That's okay.
But
that's the important part. You're still taking the book in some form. So yeah, I'm going to finish that. I have a little trip coming up, so I'll probably honestly finish that next Monday, which will still be July, and I'll still finish a couple days early. And then I can start a book I like much better in August.
What book are you going to read in August, do you know?
I haven't decided yet. I'm debating between a few. And I like all of them much more than I like the one I'm reading now. But the one I'm reading now, the Execution, got very good. So I have to give it props. The other thing that I recently did, I did my video of unboxing the 16 Mystery Goosebump books. I'm hoping that maybe we can release that next week. Like,
let's do it.
Wednesday.
Let's do it. Let's
I should
just
have
put
the editing done by then. And last night I watched the season 7 finale of The Flash, and semi-spoilers, guys.
Did it get better?
I mean, no.
Did it recapture that season 1 and 2 magic?
Oh, absolutely not. Like, The Flash War was rushed and should have been better than what it was.
Flash War, huh?
Yeah, there was a Flash War, and Flash's kids come from the future to help him, and then the Speed Force, who takes the form of Barry's mother, gives them all a boost, and somehow Iris became a Flash again, because we all wanted to see that, and she was useless, like she usually is.
Who is Iris?
Iris is Barry's love interest in life.
Who's Iris? Yeah, of course it's his wife. Really?
Yes. Yeah, she became a Flash once in the series. Something weird happened, she got his power. And then I guess because she had it, when Speed Force gave everyone that had Flash powers a boost, she became the Flash again as well. And while everyone else was doing really cool things, she was blowing wind with her arms, which is all she can do. And I get it. She's not as experienced.
Like, doing the little circles.
Yeah, and tornadoes were coming out of her hand.
Ooh.
At any point, do, like, two Flashes collide?
Like, run into each other?
No.
That'd be some interesting
super collider.
That'd be some interesting physics right there. Can Flash run faster than the speed of light? Because that would definitely be like a hydrogen bomb going off, I think.
No, he can run fast enough to, like, go back in time accidentally.
Yeah, he's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, like you said, the Speed Force.
Yes.
Like, there's like a place that the mm-hmm. that speed comes from.
Yes, and the Speed Force takes the form of Barry's mother.
Interesting.
Yes, so there were lots of Flashes on there, and it was a good episode, but it was rushed, and so that slight spoiler, it involved Flash-like lightsabers. That was the final fight, and it was very Star Wars-y.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Stop it. No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, cringy.
Yep. Flash was fighting Godspeed, and he had to use his nemesis, Reverse Flash, to help him, and Flash had a red saber, Godspeed had two white ones, and Reverse Flash had a yellow one.
So stupid.
Interesting. That's what I took from that episode. And
interesting choice.
So you can't wait till next season?
I am interested to see where season 8 goes. I hope we get more of Killer Frost. She's my favorite on the show.
Killer
Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Is she, like,
she's
a meta-human?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, Barry made Caitlin a meta-human when he did Flashpoint on the show. And changed everything. And then Killer Frost, through other shenanigans, split from Caitlin Snow. So Caitlin Snow and Killer Frost exist.
Separately?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Barry and Iris, it went off, they renewed their vows, which I always chuckle at, because when they got married, Felicity and Oliver kind of, like, jumped the gun, and they got married too, but it was more about Felicity and Oliver, and I was like, I really miss them being there and just taking credit. and making the show about them.
Would have been funny for them to have, like, done it again.
It would have been perfect. Felicity just walked in and was like, I'm not marrying you, Oliver, like she did on Arrow. And then in the end of the crossover, the Crisis on Infinite Earth X, when that happened, John Diggle is marrying Barry and Iris, and then all of a sudden, Oliver and Felicity are like, marry us too!
Sister wives?
No, no. They just got married at the same time, so it really became the Arrow wedding.
Huh.
And fans hated it, but as an elicitor, I loved it.
Nice.
But that's been my week.
Was it a good week?
Yes.
Thomas, what did you do?
Well, it's been an interesting week. I went to a COVID funeral this weekend, someone who passed away very early in the pandemic, and our church like just opened for that stuff, basically. So we had that, and that was some very complicated emotions. Bringing everyone down.
it's a sad part of life, but yeah, it's a part of life, and yeah, it's something that should always be acknowledged. And, you know, I didn't know the person personally, but I've learned a lot about them afterwards because of being close with you and your family. And so, you know, it sounded like it was a celebration of life.
It was. Just super interesting feelings around that. And so been kind of out of it lately. But started watching Pokemon Journeys.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be a hero.
Really like it so far. It's very... I feel like they're doing a lot of good fan service with some of the animation, even though it's like a new style. There are certain shots that are just, I look at them and I'm just like straight out of the Indigo League era. I feel like they're doing a really good job of keeping people's attention while, you know, catering to people like us, adults who watch cartoons.
I mean, I love Silver and Gold.
Oh, that's so Silver and Gold.
Johto.
Yeah.
Was my favorite. I mean, I love the original. Do not get me wrong, but I love the Johto Journeys. I have a bunch of them on
Pokemon
DVD.
Johto.
I'm on a quest.
I like it. Like I said, they do a lot of good fan service to past ones. It's just weird to me that they're like going to each continent like at will in this one, whereas it's like, oh, we're kind of like hobos who catch Pokemon and walk through an entire continent. I haven't watched much between like Gold and Silver and this, but what do you think, Reggie? Like, where does it rank for you?
It's probably, I would say probably like my fourth favorite of the versions. I really like X and Y.
X and Y.
The Kanto and Kalos region.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Though that's probably my favorite of all of the seasons.
Uh-huh.
And then I would say Johto Journeys, the original Pokemon, and then Pokemon Journeys, the new one.
You're giving away our next Pokemon episode.
Well, and it's interesting because for me it feels like they're getting ready to replace Ash.
Is he finally going to grow up?
I don't know, but it feels like Go is being set up to take over for Ash.
Is that going to be good when they do?
I don't know. It's just super...
We all know that.
It's super weird how they're using Go and Ash to, like, represent two different generations of Pokemon, because, like, Ash is still the generation where it's like, you gotta grind it out, like, be a Pokemon master, battle, and Go's in the generation of, like, Pokemon Go, where it's just like, throw a Pokeball at him and you'll get him.
Just throw him. I mean, he got a Suicune.
Yeah, I mean, literally, Go's just like, I'm gonna catch all these Pokemon! It's like, Ash, what were you, like, if it's this easy, what were you doing earlier in the show?
And Ash is over there like, oh, I was an idiot for battling it and, like, proving myself to it, convincing it to join my team. But that's also the thing about Ash, is that Ash doesn't really, like, just fight Pokemon and catch them. Like, he always has some kind of connection to them where they decide to join him.
He finally caught that Gengar in Journeys. I love it. I love Gengar.
You do love Gengar.
Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite too.
I like his mega form where he looks like a funhouse. His tongue.
Yes.
But then, other than that, I'm just really tired because today I have basically been driving. It's one of those days where I'm exhausted, but I feel like I didn't do much because I literally drove, sat in the North Carolina coaching convention for the entire like morning to afternoon, and then drove more, and then kind of like sat on a couch until I came here. So I'm exhausted, but I feel like I did nothing.
Driving takes it out of you.
Driving takes it out of you. I'm ADHD, so like sitting still for a like 5-hour seminar is pretty exhausting as well. But it was super cool because the ECU coach was there, and he had actually just lost his in-laws like this weekend, and was gonna miss it, but like literally lecturing at this conference was like a dream of his. And his fiance like wouldn't let him miss it. And that was just super cool to me because he's like a Western North Carolina teacher and coach raised child, exactly like me. So it's like I remember seeing him when we were little in Western North Carolina, like track meets and stuff, but just, you know, seeing someone with a similar background to me that like grew up around a family of educators and coaches, and is making it as like a college coach, which is something that I'd like to try one day, was just, I got a little up in my feelings, and he did a really good job. And just like the idea that like something that, cause the clinic I was at, I remember my dad going to it when I was little, and he has like the exact same memories. So it's just like this weird, like worlds collide. Cause he's 31 and I'm 30. He's killing it. And I'm cruising. We'll call it that.
Ha ha. Tom got inspired.
But it was really neat.
I wish that there was a video camera so everybody could see how much Tom lit up talking about that a little bit.
But yeah, last but not least, not to, there might be an upcoming Tom Snap segment because while all of this was happening with our coaching convention, our legislature in North Carolina basically did this like backroom political move to like gut our athletic association and put it under control of the government. And it's so like literally changing the way we do athletics in North Carolina since like 1915 is how long we've been doing it this way. And I'd say, and the reasons they gave are very shallow as to why they think the government should be involved in high school athletics and why that would be a better situation to add political instability into coaching. But that's been a thing, and I'm infuriated by that. And that was our news segment. I'm sorry, everyone, for making our fun podcast. But just a lot of feelings about high school athletics.
Well, being your high school coach, so I understand.
Absolutely.
But that's basically been my week.
Nice.
I really enjoyed your birthday. It was a very fun event.
Thank you.
I ate entirely too much.
I did too. I had lots to drink and lots of fun music, and I love fluttering around. And it's nice to have, you know, people over again and do stuff. Our house is perfect for entertaining. Although it did start raining right there when people finally started showing up, so that was a little bit bummer, but I had squirt guns, so that way...
In a pool. And I took bets on how long it would take one of our friend's children to jump into the pool.
I don't know if she ever got in.
I think
in.
She finally did. Adam says she finally did, but it was a lot longer.
She was drenched. I knew that. Yeah.
She was precious.
She was precious.
We have another set of friends that have a little girl, too, that loves coming over and playing in the pool. So they were both supposed to come at the same time, and of course it didn't work out like that, but... I also spent a lot of time in that kiddie pool.
They didn't know it was a kiddie pool until you said it.
Well, I didn't know the pool. You know, it went up to like halfway up my calf.
Squirted me in the nipple with a squirt gun like numerous times.
I squirted a lot of people in the nipple with my squirt guns.
Jimmy thought he was going to get you.
He thought he was going to get me. And then He like mafia style put the squirt gun like down below between his chair and another chair, and then I sat down and I saw it and I picked it up and I blasted him with it. I was
Bring it in a violin case?
No, there's no violin cases. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So that was the day before my birthday, and then my actual birthday. Well, this is what I did this weekend.
Uh-huh, yes. tell us.
I took off work and had some me time with my family.
Some re-re time?
Some me time. I got sick at the end of last week. Like, right before my birthday, I got, like...
Me too. That's why I didn't nerd out on much stuff, because I spent, like, an entire day sleeping.
It was... I had not been feeling well last week. Each morning I had woken up for like the last 3 days, and then I just chalked it up to like, I ate too much before bed or, which I didn't. And then I was like, oh, well, we're also eating incredibly healthy. So maybe I'm not feeling well. Maybe I'm just super, super hungry. Cause sometimes that happens if you eat too early or too healthy, whatever. So I was drinking ginger tea in the mornings, and I get to work and I was fine, and I could power through. But then one day I got to work and I was just like, I think I need to just die. Like, I literally feel like I should just die. And going back and forth to the bathrooms. And finally, I was like, okay, guys, I'm really sorry to do this, but I have got to go home. Got some medicine. I literally slept for like...
I left early that day, too.
100 hours is what it felt like.
But I also couldn't tell if our office was hot or if I had a fever.
So I wasn't feeling well early last week. But then, thankfully, I felt much, much better leading into my birthday. I went down and I saw my mom and went swimming. We had that little party here. And then on my actual birthday, I like bringing down the other television and playing a video game and then going through my list of favorite movies and watching those. Mm-hmm. And so... I restarted playing God of War on the PlayStation, the new-ish one in 2019. I played that when it first came out. I was starting up the game, and it still had my game save, and it said, would you like to do a new game plus, where you keep all the stuff from your game, and you start at the beginning? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yes.
Because I had played that as much as I possibly could and did everything. Well, come to find out, there's all kinds of new stuff to get in the Game Plus mode that I didn't even realize or know about. So it was not only did I get to and started playing a really, really fun game again, I'm also still, like, getting new stuff playing it. And then for my birthday movies, we watched, my favorite movies, Josie and the Pussycats, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, Beetlejuice. We watched Addams Family and Addams Family Values. We watched Moana, The Little Mermaid. And this was like from the night before going to bed, waking up and putting stuff on, and then also going to bed. And then the next day after my birthday, just kind of took it easy and then went back to work. And really, that's
been your week?
That's been my week.
Sounds like a good week. It's your birthday week. It was fun.
Fear Street. I did watch Fear Street. My family didn't watch it. I watched it with them.
Left that off, but I figured it was a given that we watched Fear Street this week.
We'll talk about it in the block.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So this week we're talking about mythic creatures from the Dark Ages.
From the Dark Ages or just
or like just
fantasy?
Like from olden... I'm talking not the new ones.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Bigfoot's pretty new, so is Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness Monster.
If they have their own Instagram, we didn't count them. So Nessie, Bigfoot, aliens.
Really? Nessie and Bigfoot both have...
We don't... Do Minotaurs not have...
No, they aren't cool.
They're not cool. They don't have Instagrams.
Well, starting out my list is a lynch, or a lich. I'm not sure exactly how you say it. I really first learned about what these were when I was playing the Witcher games. Basically, it's an undead magic user. Normally, it was like a magician who did necromancy or something like that. My list isn't really like... There's no specific rhyme or reasons for these guys. They're just ones that I really liked, and we decided to do this one because it kind of fit that 1666 kind of time period.
Everything was based on superstition.
Say what?
When, like, society was just based on superstition.
And shadows. Oh, the shadow spooked me! You're a witch! Next on my list is, I had mentioned last week that there was going to be one from, like, Indian culture. But it's called, I think it's Nagini.
Okay.
N-A-G-I-N, a Nagin.
I feel like I've heard Nagini before.
Nagini is the name of the snake from Harry Potter. But it is a Sanskrit word for female deity who takes the form of a large snake.
Ugh, why?
There's a Bollywood horror movie called Hiss that's about this.
The basilisk?
No, about the Nagini or the Nagin or however you say it.
Well, that's wild because Nagini is a snake in Harry Potter. Okay. Yeah.
It's probably where the name came from. But I just think these are cool ones.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, any kind of lady deity who will take the form of a snake. Normally it's a king cobra, but occasionally any other, will take, you know, it's from Indian, it appears in forms of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism, J-A-I-N-I-S-M.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a counterpart that's called a Naga, which is just a male version of it. I just thought it was interesting and really cool. Next on my list, these two are interchangeable, so I'll do the manticore first, which, I don't know, you guys know, I'm not just talking about the thing that was in, Onward. Do you guys watch Onward, the Disney movie?
I'm sure I have at some point.
It's the new one where their father's missing, their elves and stuff like that.
Maybe I haven't.
It's on Disney Plus. We should watch it all together. It's supposed to be pretty good. I have also not watched it. But the character was in my Disney fighting game that I was playing, so that's where I first learned about it. But anyway, a manticore is from Persian history. It's a creature similar to the Egyptian Sphinx. It has the head of a human, the body of a lion, and the tail of a venomous spine similar to a porcupine. It's also been depicted as what I have always seen it as, having a scorpion tail.
Which is much cooler than a
and
porcupine
scarier. I mean, with that. But I've always seen it depicted with like a man's face, but then it has like a lion's mane and then the body of a lion and then the tail.
I was terrified of scorpions growing up because of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I loved Honey, I Shrunk the
Me
Kids.
Me too.
And that, with the ants as like little ant friend.
Yes, auntie.
I also really, really desperately wanted to get a handful of that Oreo center. You know what I'm talking about when they find the Oreo in the yard? giant Oreo.
Yes.
Aww. So next on my list, which I say is interchangeable because they're kind of like the same thing, but a griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Griffin comes from ancient Greek. It's also appeared in classic like Latin style literatures. And then it's also shown up in French cultures, but it's body and tail and the legs and backside of a lion, but then it has an eagle like head. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's seen with wings and sometimes it's not seen with wings. I prefer the one with wings.
Yes,
I feel like if it doesn't have wings, then it's not
a griffin.
But again, I just thought they were super cool. If it came down to between the two of them of getting like a cool 80s rock style tattoo or something, I'd probably have to go with the manticore. It's a little bit more.
Really? I would say griffin.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think like a man's face with the lion mane, something about that is just really, really rock and roll to me. And then last on my list, I'm bracing for the shock. It's not mermaid. I already did mermaid on my list last time, but because every single time I was doing this, I was like, oh, number, no, mermaid. No, mermaid. I mean, no, mermaid.
I mean, you can be a mermaid.
Basilisk. And I don't just mean like from Harry Potter, the giant snake, but that's, you know, it's the same type of creature that I'm talking about. It's also known as a cockatrice. I'm not sure if that's exactly how it's pronounced or not, but basically it's a reptile. Normally it has like a chicken rooster face. And then if you look at it in the eyes, it will turn you to stone. And of course in Harry Potter, it was depicted as just like a giant
snake, but it kind of had a rooster looking face for a snake. It's wild though, just with the Nagini and this, and then Medusa, how like glares and turning people into stone, and snakes and females get like put together in all this mythology.
Well, That's because they were stupid back then.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting to see that thread through like history of just like pattern. A snake person that like a snake based person who can turn you to stone by looking at you.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure that's probably where, I mean, not the stone part, but something about even Christianity with Eve and the apple and the serpent and how she was the one that was.
Poor snakes. They don't deserve it.
They don't have limbs. They're weird. That's why we don't like them.
They are weird.
They're just little muscle skeleton ropes.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of snakes. I will hold one if I had to. Oh, also, if you guys remember seeing that tweet meme thing that's been rolling around, it was like, you guys remember in middle school when the guy would come roll through your school with all the snakes and the giant one and then your whole class would hold it?
No, well, that never happened here.
It totally happened here. It happened at Hardin Park, at least.
It did happen in my school.
It had definitely happened in my school several
elementary
times.
Elementary school. Yeah, there was just a dude who came in and was like, hey, hold this snake.
Thankfully, we didn't have that at my school. Out
and
in
then
the country.
He went on to invent the MyPillow.
But yeah, that's my list. Short, sweet,
yay,
precise, to the list. Point. Nothing too fancy.
But I like it.
Nice. All right. Shane, what you got for us?
The most basic list ever, because I'm basic.
Is it Scooby-Doo, Scrappy-Doo, Uncle-Doo?
Honestly, funny enough, I think these are all villains from Scooby-Doo.
Joe-Doo.
Not going to lie. Joe-Doo. I'll tell you how. I will start with this. So my first one, I chose Giants. And half the time I wonder, I'm like, did they just think, you know, did they have really tall humanoids because we have skeletal structures when men, you know, or Homo sapiens used to be taller? Did they just call those giants at some point? I don't know.
I had a distinct fear of giants growing up, just from all of the child-based media around giants.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
I was terrified. I was legitimately afraid of giants at one point in my life.
I mean, on Scooby-Doo, a tiki fair is no scare. They had the giant statue that moved. I told you, I'm going to relate it.
Everything's going to come back to
Scooby-Doo.
Yes, always.
Joe-Doo, the new Scooby-Doo character. Hanna-Barbera, who owns Scooby-Doo now?
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. If you want to use Joe-Doo in your Scooby-Doo franchise, you have to go through total nerd list.
Next on my list is the Centaur, and that has been a Scooby villain a couple of times.
Half horse, half man?
Yep.
Which half?
Ooh, and they carried Umbridge away.
The man was the top half. It had the horse body with limbs.
Lame. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, those aren't my favorite episodes because I just don't find it that scary.
Well, I mean, there's nothing scary about a Centaur. Was it like a ghost Centaur?
I mean, maybe a mean one, but it was just the Centaur.
What was the game plan? Like, what was their end game?
I don't know. They ran and then eventually unmasked it, and like half of it's a robot.
Lame.
Yep.
My favorite Centaurs are from Fantasia. Like when they're doing with Dionysus, you know, mm-hmm. part I'm talking about it. Mm-hmm. That was always my favorite.
I like the ones that carried Umbridge away.
You didn't read all the Harry Potters, have you?
I have not read a single one. And I actually tried to read the first one. I couldn't get past the first chapter.
It's okay. J.K. Rowling is...
Harry Potter written by Dumbledore, so...
Mm-hmm. But still, it's all right. It's not my thing.
Steal her books and movies.
Make them better, Jane.
No, I'm saying just steal them if you're going to partake
in them.
I just
want to make my own and make them really good. And then play all the main characters. Well, not all, but, you know, like, all the leads.
Nothing for Thomas and I.
Yes, you'd be, like, the...
Extra.
The supporting characters.
Can I be the sassy gay best friend?
Can I be, like, the cockney?
Good day, mate.
I don't know if I have either of those, but sure. Middle of my list, Reggie already mentioned a griffin, which has also been a Scooby-Doo villain, I'm pretty sure at some point. I can't remember exactly when. I think it was honestly during the 80s episodes. And those run together because when it was the three of them, we got three episodes. And then they brought Daphne back and we started getting two episodes, which I like this better. But I'm pretty sure there's a griffin in one of them.
The griffin of Coney Island.
The griffin of Coney
Island. That sounds like a Scooby-Doo, Be Cool Scooby-Doo episode because they had a Yeti in New York and that was awful.
You literally sounded just like Fred. Okay, I'm going to rewind this when this is done and be like, yes. Listen guys, look, he sounds just like Fred.
And then after that, and this is one I don't think has been a villain on Scooby-Doo, but I did put unicorns on my list.
unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink their blood, though, because from the moment it touches your lips, you live a half-life, a cursed life.
All right, Harry Potter over here. I wasn't able to bring out my giant pool floaty, but Tom saw it when we went onto the lake. I have a giant unicorn floaty.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? Well, yes, yeah, it was on the porch.
Evening I came
when
over.
You came over, yeah. Celeste Bella Bethabel
yes.
is her name. I love unicorns.
Yes,
especially
I liked it.
Rainbow unicorns.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow unicorns are the best.
Yep. Aren't they the only kind?
Yes.
Rainbow robot unicorn attack?
No.
<That's a good laughs> game. Oh, Shane, do you remember the unicorns in Teen Titans Go?
From, yes.
The Pretty Pretty Pegasus show?
Yes. They're great.
Interesting.
And then finally, number one on my list are dragons.
Dragoons?
Yes. And I had to choose dragons because that was one thing I did, like, if it had a dragon in it, I was somewhat interested when I was younger, to a degree. I still kind of lose interest partway through. But when they fought the dragon, which is usually what they had to do, it was cool.
Dragons, not wyverns or some derivative of them. You're talking about just...
dragons.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, dragons, because basic, pumpkin spice latte.
It's okay, your list can be basic.
And then my honorable mention, I chose demons. Like the diabolical disc demon from the 70s. Not really that demon, but demons in general I always find interesting and
like
frightful.
Demons from Catholic history or demon, like any kind of specific demons?
No specific kind.
I was going to do Bagul from Sinister.
Bagul. Ooh. What was the demon in the Conjuring movies?
Valak.
Yeah.
Valak.
That one was scary.
That
Which one was that? Was that the first one? No, was that the second?
The second one, and then it had its own movie that I talked about before.
Yes,
about how
the
I
nun.
Couldn't tell if it was taking itself seriously or not.
But that's my list. Very basic this week, but that's just the things I chose.
That's your list, and you are sticking to it?
Yep.
Very nice. It was still a good list.
Thank you.
Shouldn't call it basic. Just call it Shane's list. Nobody out there would know it's basic.
Shane sick.
Well, before we move along to Thomas's list, should we do that thing we've done in the last 2 weeks and talk
yes.
about that movie? All right. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to know anything about the Fear Street 1666, go ahead and skip forward now because we're going to start talking about it and we're going to ruin it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ruined.
So, spoiler alert as well. It's 1666 and 1994 part two.
Which I thought was going to be another movie that we were going to have to wait a week for, and I was almost infuriated.
So, I only realized that there was going to be a second part because I had moved my mouse onto the screen and it just happened to move onto the bar mm-hmm. and it, you know how when you're fast forwarding it'll do the little box and it
if it's a good streaming service
it would be off. It showed part two and I was like,
you cheated.
Oh, it's gonna be a two-parter. Oh,
it was perfect. Such a pleasant surprise because you suffered through 1666.
It was good. I liked it, the movie itself.
Yes.
I agree with what you said though. 1666 was a little like, can we hurry up and get to mm-hmm. what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
I appreciate the teens still going out and partying and tripping on berries and the
stealing from the witch.
The that whole lesbian love scene in the woods was intense.
Everyone was, well, not everyone, but the main characters were there as different people, and yet they all had the same relationships.
Can we just talk about how dirty they did Tommy or Tom or Thomas?
Oh, the axe-wielding one, and then in 1666...
He's like a sweet baby angel who has to go kill all of his friends, and then he's like a town drunk/religious fanatic in the next one. It was just like,
He was our Abigail Williams if Abigail Williams was the town drunk.
Mm-hmm. Who's Abigail Williams?
From The Crucible.
Yeah. I totally know
that. Evil woman.
That woman who in the movie they showed us smacked the chicken on the pot and then rubbed the blood on her face and was like, whoa! You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah. In The Crucible movie, she whacks a chicken and then rubs the blood on her face.
Crazy.
And she was allegedly real, so we don't know what happened to her, but she was mean.
But that's, I mean, I I could see how it was slow because I watched it again with Allison last night, and she was like, is this movie ever going to, like, get somewhere? But I was, like, paying super close attention because I feel like they did a really good job in the movie of throwing out there some of, like, the historical, like, they gave a good nod to, like, some of the historically accurate part of, like, what witch sightings were and stuff. So it was like, they really highlighted the fact that I feel like a lot of times it was just like, the kids are playing in the woods, the devil's got them.
In the dark.
Oh no, the kids are kids.
Yeah. When everything in the town started going wonky and like all their food was rotting, I thought that it was going to go into a place like, I think The Witch, that movie, have y'all seen that?
I could not make it through The Witch. It got too weird for me. That was one. I love horror movies, but I had to turn it off, and I was not even, like, really upset. I was just so uncomfortable with it that I sold it.
One possible explanation of that movie is that, I guess, like, in settlements, there were some molds that would grow on, like, vegetables or, like, bread that would cause them to, like, hallucinate. So when everything was, like, going wild in the town and the horses were, like, jumping and everyone was, like, eating rotten fruit, I just assumed like everyone was tripping. And so I thought that was I thought it was a nod to that. And then, you know, obviously just, the whole mob mentality of it all. I mean, I feel like it was a little bit of lesbian torture porn.
I mean, one guy gets, you know, rejected from raping somebody. Mm-hmm. And then he decides to say that,
They're witches.
Because he couldn't get some.
Mm-hmm. And then because the harvest failed. That's another thing that they, like, nodded to.
And all of the rest of the men in the town were like, yes, I saw it. Uh-huh, I saw it too. Yeah, because...
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they were men and they were in power? And
they all looked the same.
They wanted to feel important, too. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, just, like, mob mentality is just, like, people get wound up and start feeling very important.
So they went from having no adult supervision in the town to back in the older yonder days where the parents were too supervisual.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely, like, it became a more realistic universe in the last movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're probably going for, like, the sexy teen slasher vibe for the first two movies, but I feel like this one kind of moved back into, like, it's like, oh, there are adults here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we knew what was going to happen. That she was going to die.
Yes.
You know, spoiler alert and twist, she never was the witch. She was not. She didn't curse the town. Mm-mm. It wasn't her who did any of it. She just was the fall guy.
Fall guy because he saw them. I will say one thing. When they thought they got seen in the woods having fun, her and Sam, mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we got seen. Let's kiss in middle of our village that, like, everyone in society lives in. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to victim blame y'all because I obviously understand, like, that it's not a good time to be y'all, but why did you kiss in middle of town?
No, he saw then. It was out in town. Oh, well, no, I guess the drunkard saw.
Drunkard saw, but, I mean, like, literally everyone in that society lived in, like, 100 meters of mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah. That's stupid. So, find out who the bad guy is. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. It was the goods.
The goods.
We knew it was going to be them controlling it somehow.
Reggie called it.
Did.
I was really upset that Nick was little. Young Nick was bad.
Young Nick at the summer camp. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, it was a gut punch.
It was.
I was so upset about that too. So,
but he still did really, I think he really loved Iggy though.
Ziggy.
Yeah,
I do agree.
Iggy, Iggy yep.
I agree.
Yeah, but basically Seraphir finds the lair with the names written on the wall that you think is the witches that you see in the middle movie.
Turns out it was just
In the basement of Solomon Good, the sheriff's mm-hmm. ancestor. And when he walked in that room and you saw that it was like part of them, I was just like, oh, no.
Yeah, I felt. And also how her hand, where I kept waiting for her hand to be, like her to cut her hand off to make it her own deal.
Yeah. But no, that didn't happen.
It just got cut off in a fight.
But So, apparently, okay, so he puts a name on the wall and the devil gets its,
the devil
its blood
possesses
feast.
That person.
And then when it kills people, the devil feeds on their blood, basically.
And it subsides him for X amount of time.
But it so just takes one person, guys. Just one person.
Does he
and
make...
And the deal is done.
Does he make... a wish on with the devil, or does the devil just like, "Hey, your town's gonna be nice now"?
I think it's more
about he benefits from it.
Positive prosperity for his family.
So it's just a sacrifice, and, basically.
Yeah, it's just a sacrifice to any.
And then like whatever they don't have to like go and be like, "I want to be sheriff." It's just like you're what you want in life is gonna come true as long as you do this.
Basically, well, because. Well, we'll get there. So,
but it just made everything with him and is he
Ziggy?
Oh,
it just made everything with them just like so phony. You like go back and just listen to everything Nick Good said through both movies, and you're just like, ugh. Yeah. Like I can't
That's
even watch
why
the first
saved her,
two.
Though,
what?
That's why he saved her though,
because he genuinely cared.
Yes, that's the thing. I think he genuinely cared because even at the end when he is, you know, they kind of. Make him the target of the killers for a hot minute, and he takes Ziggy hostage. It gets on her, so they go after her, and while Juan has him down, he's yelling for them to go save her.
You don't hug someone covered in murder blood.
No.
If you care about them, though. So we're not looking into that. He gets no credit.
No credit.
Nick Good gets no credit for anything he did in the entire movie.
So the main girl... learns the past and snaps to present day.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was so cool that, like, literally, so the whole thing is when you bleed on Seraphir's bones, she reveals what happened to them. And so that's why the deity was after. So there were, like, so many layers of how, like, this thing could come after you. Like, if you know the truth, it's going to try and kill you. Or your name gets on the wall and you're possessed and you're going to kill other people. And be its, like, eternal servant that it can just summon at will to go kill more people.
I don't know if it could be at will, but it definitely was.
Anytime it was threatened, it would, like, release, like, little murder
babies. Yeah, so, anytime someone found out the secret.
Was that Good sending them out, or was it just doing it on its own?
I think it was doing it on its own, because how did he know did he respond to the accident when she bled on the bones? But also, why couldn't they just go destroy her grave if they knew that was there and that someone had bled on it?
Nobody knew that that's where her body was.
Yeah, so I feel like it's like the entity. It's like the entity in Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Yeah, because we don't...
It's bad.
I don't think... Did he... And this other thing that kind of bugged me is how Sam's name gets on the wall. He already did the kid from the first movie that killed... the girl in the mall.
I think he like knew she knew because she bled on the bones, so he was just like, I'm just gonna make her kill all of her friends that know about it now. So
but we never saw it. We only saw him say the guy's name.
But we did, but we saw her name on the wall.
Yes, we saw it go on the wall.
Did it go on its own?
Honestly, that's what it looked like to me. Because remember in the end of the first movie, we get the shot of, like, you're going through the tunnels, and then all of a sudden her name appears on the wall.
Mm. We'll have to check it out, because, I mean, I feel
Butthole.
Like... did her name didn't go on the wall until after she bled on the bones, though, right?
Yeah, it was
correct.
After, yeah.
And then we got the montage of all the good saying the names, and hers was one of them.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was after the movie was done, when they thought they had survived.
Mm-hmm.
So they had... The two friends had died... Sam had died and
came back.
I think then the sheriff knew that they knew too much because he left the
note.
Yeah,
so
says,
he put their
it's
name.
It's happening again.
Mm-hmm.
So then he must have gone and said to put Sam's name on the wall to take care of any kind of loose ends.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Lame. He was a jerk.
He was. He was the worst.
Jerk, but basically they kill him and...
Well, they go to they get Britta. I don't know what her name is.
Berman. Ziggy.
Yeah, Ziggy. Ziggy. They get Ziggy.
Mm-hmm.
And the janitor from the mall who gives the brother the card from... He drops the paperclip and helps him escape, and I knew that was going
to
come back at some point.
It had
to. I love that. I was trying to figure out what they were doing. They home alone to the mall, basically.
They did.
They with blood water.
Blood water and super soakers and
gates.
And gates. Mm-hmm. And it was good. I thought it was really good. I was very happy that none of them... died.
Yes. I was a little afraid for Josh there for a moment when he thought he could go one-on-one with Ruby.
Yeah, when his arm broke, I was like, oh, here it goes. And to the throat or something like that.
I was like, why is that one helping him?
Allison was super afraid he was going to die because he died in the 1666. Yeah. Got his eyes plucked out.
So they were all after main girl. What's her name? What was her name?
Dina.
Dina. They were all after her. That was what the whole point of that was, is that Good sent them after her.
Mm-hmm. Because so she bled on the bones and knew.
So then they lured him into the mall. They went to the back room, which the mall still connected to that. What was the entirety of everything connected to this?
Well, the mall was built where the mall was built where camp was.
Oh yeah,
because the hand had to go through the mulch in the tree.
So it was probably like the Good family with their success was like, we're gonna build a mall here on top of our Satan temple, so no one ever finds it.
Oh yeah, that's probably true.
And if it's like Boone, they built it in a floodplain,
flooded with demons. So then they have a big fight. You don't know if Dina's gonna make it out or not with Good. He's got her down. Oh no, Sam comes and is about to.
Yeah, she breaks loose
and gets stabbed. And it was like, oh, crap, she's stabbed. There she goes. She's going to die.
But then she has book armor, and it's the R.L. Stein of that universe. Mm-hmm.
I love that it was the Fear Street books taped to her. That's what saved her. And then, so she put the sheriff's hand on the Satan pod. I don't know what it was. The ooze.
And it showed her. I didn't get that part. It just showed him all of his.
It was Sarah's final words to him. I'm going to be with you forever, and every one of your victims you're going to feel. He was feeling
all of his victims.
I thought that that's what that was, is that he was being forced to relive his.
Yeah, but why would his little Satan cocoon make him feel that?
Because
by touching it.
It was the same reason, the same thing that happened when she touched it and when Alice touched it in 78.
So the Satan cocoon just gives them their fifis?
Visions, I guess. I don't know. Because then he started seeing all of them, which distracted him enough to.
So she gets
stabbed in the eyeball. And he's finally dead. And then they all of the creatures poof like vampires from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That was cool.
I liked it. Do you guys stay through the credits?
Yes.
So you saw somebody new grab
Steal
the
Devil
book.
Mm-hmm. Which had literally just been sitting in that cave since, like,
why?
How long?
Why? Why would they just...
Why wouldn't he put it in his, like, creepy house that was...
They should have took it and burned it.
Okay, you get to see, like, Mr. Good's creepy house, and then...
Was that Sheriff Good's house?
I think so. And
that
then,
mansion that he came walking out
of? And then a car wreck happens in Sunnyvale, showing that, like, the curse was broken. I think it was
things were going to start happening to Sunnyvale instead of just Shadyside.
And they probably could just, like, back out of their driveways without ever looking in Sunnyvale. And so, oh, man. They're definitely... I think last week I said that they were connecting it to the Stephen King universe, but I think I heard that they're connecting it to Stranger Things. Have y'all heard that at all?
Uh-oh.
I mean, it gives me a very Stranger Things vibe. I haven't heard that they are connecting it, but they do want to make it, like, its own little Marvel cinematic universe and have, like, other things that build off of Fear Street. And then, who knows, maybe have, like, their own sort of Avengers. Like, maybe Dina comes back to help solve a problem, or Ziggy or someone...
How cool! Mm-hmm. I will watch all of
those. I'm down for
that.
I don't think it needs to be connected to Stranger Things or Stephen King.
No, they need to just keep doing
They need to build their own world.
Yeah, and then have the characters come back to help and stuff like that. That would be cool. I'm still upset about the bread slicer.
Me too!
And how they were just dead. I was really hoping that, like,
they're dead.
Some type of magic would bring it all back around to the beginning, and they would just be like, oh, this happened, and we're
No,
gonna...
but they were proven to not be junkies, and their memorial, their name was on the memorial.
Oh,
thing.
I didn't think about how that, like, showed that, like...
They were... It was showed that it wasn't
like
them.
It was an honor.
The sheriff who was the serial killer and did that.
It's and
like,
I just wonder if...
Your bag. I'm sorry.
I feel like that, like, represent, like... his spell being broken over the town, the fact that they weren't like, he would never do this.
Yeah, that's true. I apologize.
No, it's okay.
At her.
Actually, she was at my shoe because I was doing that little, like, antsy thing with my
foot.
We're
leaving this in. Okay. We're talking to Reggie's cat, Clementine, who is very interested in Shane's bag.
She's a cat. She loves all bags.
Mm-hmm.
Clementine is my hero.
Well, I like the movie.
I do too. Like, I knock it, like, for fun.
I like the series.
I do really enjoy
it. I don't know if I'm going to be able... I think I'll be able to rewatch 1994 at least once.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I don't think I'll be able to rewatch it.
Yeah, I don't see a high rewatch value, at least not for a little while for me. Maybe around October. during movie month.
Ooh, that'll be good.
To watch again.
Actually, I don't go back and watch a lot of horror movies unless it's Scream, and that's usually because it's on TV.
I did all four Scream movies in a marathon. Right?
I know.
We should do Fear Street for your Halloween party this year.
Fear Street themed?
Yeah.
We'll see.
You could get 90s, and it could be a 90s, 70s, and 1600s party.
or skip 1600s.
Corey could churn some butter for us.
Did your family ever make butter at Thanksgiving?
But yeah, you told me about this with the jar
and you shake it.
That's so cool though. But
you just give it to the kids. And that's what they do.
Kids, and they're like, hey,
yeah, and then they go, we're making butter. And then that's what you eat with dinner. Okay, whatever. I liked it. I'll watch it again eventually.
Eventually.
I give it a 95. It was cool.
B plus.
I mean, I give it an A. I would give it an A. Just an A.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just an A. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated the representation.
Yes.
I really appreciated that the main characters were lesbians, and that was part of the conflict, but it was never like, oh, they're butch lesbians, like, mm-hmm. let's make that the whole focus.
And it wasn't their coming out story, really,
yeah,
either.
Yeah, it wasn't. No, it was just, that was just part of what the storyline. Mm-hmm. It's easier to do that, I feel like, with lesbian characters mm-hmm. than it is with gay characters sometimes, though. But we'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. So I definitely give it an A. Well, Tomoth.
Oh, I still have a list again.
You want to share your list with us?
Yes. Mine is very, very short, but The Vegetable Lamb is my number 5. The Vegetable Lamb, it had a place that it was from that I forgot to write down. But apparently there was a vegetable lamb that would just... People said there was a lamb that would grow out of the ground and, like, be a seed pod and then come out and eat stuff around where it was growing, and then it would just die or something if it got... I do not know.
I think that'd be the... it'd have the potential to be one of the most annoying plants, because when it wants something like water, it's just gonna call out and take the water.
Sounds probably like it was just, like, dehydrated sailors explaining what cotton was.
Central Asia, once believed to grow... sheep as its fruit.
But yeah, the vegetable lamb of Tartary.
Tartary.
But sure. Always got to do the weird ones. I had to do the Sandown Clown for cryptids. The Minotaur is number 4 on my list, mostly because of the movie Role Models.
Oh, I love that movie.
I love that movie too.
I am a lioness, and I will protect my cub.
I love that movie so much, but just them driving the Minotaur monster truck, and that was the name of the energy drink company they worked for. Minotaurs are metal, and I feel like of all mythic stuff, like, they're just some of the most, like, heavy metal.
Have you ever seen Your Highness?
No.
With Danny McBride and James Franco and Natalie Portman?
No. I remember, like, learning about the actual story of the Minotaur, though, in, I think we did, like, a Greek lesson or something in sixth grade, and being terrified of being sent to the Minotaur. It wasn't just, like, every now... It was like a Hunger Games, but you just got sent to, like, the Minotaur's maze.
Yeah, the labyrinth. And mm-hmm. it hid out in the center of the labyrinth.
Next on my list is the Esquilax. Which is from a Simpsons episode where it shows Lisa's feature, but it starts out as a Renaissance fair, and she goes into the like mythical creatures tent, and it's Chief Wiggum, and he's like, here we have the Esquilax, the legendary horse with the head of a rabbit and the body of a rabbit, and it's just a rabbit. And I just, when I was doing this episode, I just thought about the Ren Fair, and do they have a tent like that?
No, they don't have like an oddities tent at the Ren Fair, which
we should
do one.
An oddities. But yeah, I had to include that one because I love The Simpsons.
There's a torture dungeon.
Torture dungeon? Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's that kind of Ren Fair.
Well, I mean, if you pay extra. Anything can be that kind of thing if you pay extra.
Number, let's see, two on my list is Sirens. I I don't know. I think sirens are hilarious. Just them singing on the rocks to a bunch of sailors who haven't seen women in a long time. And
dehydrated, saltwater drinking sailors.
Probably like with numerous vitamin deficiencies, having to operate on all cylinders to survive. And it's just like, oh, we're going to make you crash into the rocks. And I just imagine them like singing and then like while the ship's sinking, like filing their nails.
If video games have taught me anything, when I hear singing from a distance, I go the other way.
Like Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight, Left 4 Dead.
Ruby saying like the
Ruby
Huntress.
From Fear Street. Mm-hmm. Just go the other way. It isn't your family members. It's not a loved one. No one wants you. Just go the other
Somebody
way.
Somebody wants you dead.
But yeah, like mermaids, don't they think that sirens might have been manatees?
Mm-hmm. Probably manatees from sailors who drank too much salt water and were delusional and not delusional. Well, no, I guess that's the right word.
And nutrient-deprived and hungry. And
seeing and hearing things that they weren't really.
And then number one on my list is just like any legendary sea monster that's just from like any myth ever. I feel like it always takes on some form of like squid, giant squid, which it's probably just people seeing giant squids and being like, oh, it's like a shark squid. I saw one of those on when I was looking it up. There's a shark squid from certain mythology. My favorite band, Mastodon, did an album about Moby Dick. And I feel like a lot of their stuff has like sea themed epicness. And so just like the idea of like the legends from the sea and the I love sea monsters. My brother draws, like he has a tattoo of a pretty sweet octopus, and just the monsters he drew were a lot of sea monsters. So I like sea monsters.
They are really cool.
Amorphous, like tentacles.
Yes.
Shark face, octopus face, everything.
They're scary.
Monsters.
Well, and if you think about it, like, while we as people were like traversing the ocean back in the old days, it still wasn't like it is now. So those things like giant squids probably were up, you know, a little higher in depth than they are now instead of like the deep darkness.
Yes.
And they probably came there routinely, but then we put all of our boats and things and trash in the sea and they stay down below.
I was terrified of getting eaten by a giant squid's beak when I was little, because I saw like an old black and white movie where they have like harpoons and they're all falling into the beak. And then also I'm terrified of the Sarlacc from Star Wars. So,
does that have a beak too?
Yeah, it has a beak. But yeah, just sea monsters in general. I love monsters. I feel like when I draw monsters, they're usually sea monsters.
There's some kind of like book that Corey has that's like old maps and the mythical sea monsters and creatures that would be like monsters to hear and, you know, stuff like that. I need to bring it in.
Yeah, we need to
see it.
We need to check that out.
Yes.
But then my honorable mention is a banshee, which I actually just learned like what a Banshee Boardwalk in Mario Kart always just made me think like ghosts, but apparently a banshee is from like Irish folklore and it would scream at you when you were about to lose your family. And it just like lived up in those little like rolling hills in Ireland. And so just the thought of like someone's of just a creepy ghost lady screaming at you when your family was going to die.
Wasn't there super something weird, specific on how they got turned into a banshee?
I don't know. I had never like actually heard, known what a banshee was, and I stumbled upon it. And since I'm a McDonough, I decided I needed to share our banshees.
I always thought it was something like their lovers cut their hearts out or something like that. Or maybe that was just in Charmed and that's how it happened.
That might have just been in Charmed, because I have not ever heard anything about that with banshees.
And Shane knows his banshees.
Not really, but... but I know of them, because when you said it, I'm like, ooh, they scream.
Well, I guess I've always heard, like, screaming like a banshee.
Yes, or a panther.
Well, and I think banshees also are normally specifically female.
Yeah.
They're feminine spirit in Irish mythology. However, in rare cases, a male can become a banshee. It's usually seen as an omen of bad times.
And then you can put them both in the daycare center together, and when you come back, there will be an egg.
All right, Pokemon mechanics over here. Well, it was a good week.
It was. It was
fun,
good list.
Fun list. Fun mm-hmm. movie. 1666, Fear Street. We have any shout-outs or anything we want to say before we say goodbye to the kids at home?
Bulbasaurion for the logo. Once again, beautiful. She's also taking commissions right now. So if you want
some nice pencil, color pencil work.
Color pencil drawings.
Know that.
She's turned them into stickers. She's turned them into... She's selling... So have you seen the Bulbasaur patch she has that's like the skeleton Bulbasaur?
Mm-hmm.
She has some with Gengar right now that's really cool looking.
I need to get something for Thomas. Stash it away for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Support artists.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And writers.
And podcasts.
Give us money. Let's see here. I always want to mention Jordy Marie Games. You can mm-hmm. find her on Facebook and also on Twitch. I think she's kind of been doing a little less Animal Crossing here recently and more Sims and various other games. She's making her way through Resident Evil. I think she's on 7 now.
Resident Evil 7.
Also, my buddy Jimmy Willamette Woodwork. Always want to mention him. He makes custom furniture. Also, just want to thank you guys and my family and my mom and everybody else for a pretty wonderful birthday.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, really Reggie.
Yes.
Jane, you got anybody?
Mason Blevins, as always. I'm actually getting, I get the privilege of hearing all about his sequel that is in the works. And if you guys have read the first 34 Degrees, you will love the sequel. I've read bits and parts of it, and then what I hear about it, it just sounds so amazing and so good. And of course, I want to shout out that Groovy Scoob cast who sent me the really cool gear last week. They did their recent season finale, so on the way over, I was listening to an episode of Scooby-Doo's and Don'ts, which is another podcast I think people who love Scooby-Doo should check out with Billy and Amelia, and I also speak with them on Twitter, too, so they're very cool. But that's it for me this week.
Shane's saucy nice Twitter friend. Yes.
Well, as always, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Total Nerd List, and mm-hmm. then you can also email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com. Send us your list, send us your feedback, your ideas. You can go over, do a little list while you're while we're doing an episode. Well, I think that's it.
That's all.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.